Yeah.
Check it out.
See, the only thing you need to do right here is snarl your freaking head.
Yeah, boy, it's August 21st, and it's episode 190, and this is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast is the official podcast of thefantasyfootballauction.com, the internet's only website dedicated to fantasy football auctions. We got a great show for you tonight. Tonight, we are going to break down our big home auction draft. We got the draft board up. We've got the values there. We've got two guys that were right in the thick of it. So we're going to break that down for you tonight. But of course, our analysts, they're always here. He's just back from a big fly-in fishing trip, hauling in lots of Walters. Blister, how was the fishing this week?
We got two words for ya.
It was pretty darn good. A little cold weather. It's starting to cool off. We're kind of further up north, but the fishing was great. We ate a pile of walleye this week and had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs.
Awesome. Awesome. I didn't get to go fishing, but I did have a lot of beers and a lot of saunas this week, so that was good too. Shout out to my brother-in-law, Healy, because we put in a few good shifts. Anyways, and he's back tonight. He had one more successful commissioned fantasy football auction home draft. Slim's the commissioner of our home league, and he pulled off another one. Slim, how'd everything go with the draft this weekend?
Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? I repeat, will the real Slim Shady please stand up?
Pretty good, actually. It was super fast. Kudos to the auctioneers. I sent them a shout out the next day after. Ended up sleeping at the hotel that hosted us, so
nice.
It was a pretty good night. Well, no, it was actually one of the worst sleeps that I've had in recent memory. So I thought I'd be good, and I had a cold, and I slept like shit. It pissed me off. I woke up probably feeling worse than if I would have went home, getting woken up by my kids at 6:30 a.m. So
I was expecting to hear a little bit more buzz during the draft. I know it's an auction and you get a little bit busy. I only heard from Klinger. That was it. I was unfortunately out of the draft this year. I had to take my son in to play some soccer in Winnipeg. So I was out. Good to see that there was a couple of old names back in, one taking my place. But that was good. But that's what we want to do tonight. We want to break down this big auction. We got the boys here. They were there that night. They're going to tell us about their teams and some of the things that they liked that they did, some of the things they didn't so much like, and, good values, breaking down other people's teams, how things shook out and all of that. So if you guys are ready, then I'm ready. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action. Blister, I haven't cocked the hammer in the last couple episodes because we've been doing live auctions. Feel good.
That's right. Yeah, it's been a while. Very nice.
Very nice, very nice.
Wow, wow, it's very nice.
Anyways, before we get things rolling, just wanted to remind everybody to send your mock auction, and I guess now you've got real live auctions. Send your auction values and draft boards to us to add to our repository to help us set up our most accurate auction values that are out there on the internet. You send your stuff to auctionmockdraft@gmail.com. Enter in for a draw for a free membership. Last week, we had Paul Aguayo. Is that how we say it, Slim, do you think? Aguayo?
Aguayo. Sounds Aguayo. Like so, I would say it.
Sure, anyways. So, Paul...
Apologize, Paul.
Anyways, yeah, I always... Paul sent in his auction results, so we drew his name out of the hat. He is now going to be an official member of thefantasyfootballauction.com. So later on, Paul, after the podcast tonight, I will send you a link so you can get your membership. So send all of your auction results to us. It's auctionmockdraft@gmail.com. It'll also be in the show notes as well. That'll be posted on the website if you want to come back and find that particular email address. Okay, so boys, we had the big auction last night. Slim, you're the commissioner. Not last night, sorry. It was Saturday night. Slim, you're the commissioner. So why don't you just start us off with a Coles notes of the league setup, some of the formatting, scoring, those types of things. Go.
Well, it is a super flex, first of all. It's also a tight end premium. So there is that whole element. It kind of, you know, it's still a $200 budget. What is it? Two running back, two wide receiver, three flex, one of them being super flex. But it's still that $200 budget. I find it tricky to budget for this one, because it's that tight end premium and it's that super flex. And, I know last year quarterbacks went for a little bit higher. So I looked at those numbers going in this year, and Blister, maybe he can attest to this too. I found that, so I budgeted a little bit more because I got really hosed at quarterback last year.
Yeah.
And when I made my budgets this year, I increased the values a little bit. But quarterback prices went for like really cheap this year from what I thought they were going to be. Like, and I guess when we start getting into our individual teams, I can talk about that a little bit. I mean, Patrick Mahomes was the first quarterback gone, and he went in the mid-20s, which I never really paid much attention to. I was like, okay, whatever. And then Aaron Rodgers went a little bit after, and I think he was, if I'm looking right now, he was $17, which for Superflex is pretty low, I thought.
Yeah.
But still, I didn't really pay attention to it, and dummy me ends up buying kind of by accident, actually. Andrew Luck was on the board, and I was bidding. And I got him for $9, which I think it's a really good price. But I didn't want to buy him because of this injury stuff. And kind of everybody, a lot of the quarterbacks after like the top, whatever, four or five. Deshaun Watson went for a little bit higher, but God, I mean, I think he only went for $14. If I knew that, then I would have stayed out of the luck and just went for Watson. And tried to get him and someone else. But, I mean, the sweet spot was like $10, $9, $8 for these quarterbacks, which I was not expecting at all. But, yeah.
All right. So that's the breakdown. So, Blister, Slim just talked a little bit about his budget breakdown or some of his thought process when setting up the budget. Do you want to speak to any of that before we start breaking into the teams?
Well, it's on the same note of quarterback. Yeah, I was same thing as Slim last year. I was shocked how expensive they were going for. And I remember looking back at my quarterbacks because I was talking to somebody about it, and they were terrible. And I don't know what I did to get over that. But this year I thought, well, I'm going to have to spend hopefully only about $8 per guy. And I got Goff for $6, and then I spent $10 on Big Ben. And I even grabbed a third. I grabbed Nick Foles for a couple bucks later on. So not that he's going to be great, but if I have to use him on a bye week.
Yeah, you might need him, yeah.
And there's not much out there, you know.
Yeah.
So I went and did that. But other than that, I thought the prices were quite kind of low, like compared to what I've seen other times. Like I know I even paid $70, over $70 for a running back a couple years ago, and nobody went like that this year. I think 60 might have been the highest, maybe 61. So I thought, and that's not bad.
You know why I think that is, Bliss? Because I was thinking about this too. I just think as a whole, the rest of the league is kind of catching up in a sense. They're realizing that, especially in this format where you need to spend maybe a little bit more than you normally would on quarterback, obviously, because it's super flex. So you're buying two and you've probably got to pay up more to get them, that they're looking for the values. And they're not wanting to buy those higher priced guys at that insane amount, because it when you do that in this league at a super flex, especially, I find it's, you know, the guys that you're putting in your flex are guys that you're not feeling probably super confident in.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the guys that we draft with are now starting to kind of realize that. And like, there was some money sitting out there that I was a little bit surprised at it at probably about halfway in the draft. And I know I kind of was looking at, like Blister said early, some of the prices of these top guys were cheaper than I thought. And I was kind of was like, fuck it. I got to like make a move and try and buy some dudes early. Because I foresaw this bidding war coming with like the wide receiver twos and the running back twos that it didn't necessarily get as intense as I thought it was going to get, mm-hmm. but I just didn't want to be a part of any of that. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to try and load up on all these top dogs if I can.
And go that route, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I was I'm just quickly kind of looking through things. So, Blister, why don't you tell us a little bit about your team, what your strategy was coming in, and how that maybe was influenced by the draft, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera. Et cetera. Well, team, I can give you a quick rundown of the team. I mentioned I had Goff, Roethlisberger, and Foles. At running back, Todd Gurley got $32. I thought, I did not go into the draft targeting Todd Gurley. I just thought the price is so low. I kind of thought the price would go up quite a bit. You know, I thought he'd go into the mid-40s at least, and then I would have had no problem letting go. But at $32, and if Gurley can play the whole season, I mean, he has the potential to be the number one running back. So right. I thought that was a pretty good deal. I did back him up later with Malcolm Brown for $2. I think Slim nominated him, so he probably knew I was going to spend a couple bucks on him. I wasn't really paying attention, and I heard Malcolm Brown. I better throw one out there because, you know, when you go see in our league, when you go Superflex and we don't have kicker and defense, the waiver wire is a little bit thinner as we have a deep bench of 8 players. So we start 9, we have 8 on our bench. So it's not the same as when you have a kicker and a, you know, if everyone drafts one kicker and one defense, well, there's 24 guys, less players that are going to be drafted versus we don't. So there's at least 24 more bodies drafted. Right. So it makes it a little bit thinner. So having Malcolm Brown and handcuffing Gurley is not so bad for me. I spent a lot on Dalvin Cook. $46 in comparison to probably what he goes for in other leagues and what some players are going for. Like Le'Veon Bell is only $49. I grabbed Alexander Mattison too for $2, so I kind of handcuffed both my running backs. And you know he's getting a lot of hype, so you never know. Cook and Gurley are both kind of have a bit of an injury history. Wide receiver, I grabbed T.Y. Hilton for $28. And Keenan Allen for $32. Again, my whole team has a big question mark with the injury asterisk beside it because not that T.Y. is hurt, but if Andrew Luck is banged up, that probably will affect T.Y.'s value and his point production. Keenan Allen is a bit banged up. I grabbed also Mike, no, I didn't.
Yeah,
oh,
Mike Williams.
I did. Oh, I did. There he is. Yeah. Good. And I really like him this year, and I really did want him. I spent $15 on him now, having two receivers from the same team.
Yeah, and the running back.
I don't
back.
Know. Yeah, and then I guess, I got a lot of West Coast there. So, but also with, I got Williams for $15, Austin Eckler for $8, Jared Cook for $8, and then on the bench, I also grabbed Delaney Walker for $4, James Washington for $2, Zay Jones for $1, Mike Davis for $1. And Dawson Knox, a tight end in Buffalo for $1. It's a tight end premium. He's the only tight end they have right now. Everyone else is banged up. So if he can play, he's a rookie. Don't expect a lot. But for $1, probably the first guy I drop off my bench. Williams and Keenan Allen off the same team. And then they just signed Dontrell Inman. Dontrell Inman was with the Patriots. He has to be released. And then he had been in L.A. before, so they signed him. So, you know, I think Williams is still, I remember he was a first round pick a couple years ago, had pretty much injured his whole first year. I think he's in line for a better year, but the biggest question mark for me is a lot of injury ties to a lot of players, and then I do have a lot tied into the Chargers offense, so
you sure
could
do.
Be okay. But we'll see. Yeah.
I never I don't actually know how that happened that so. Until you just said that. Now.
As I was looking through it, I thought, "Oh, yeah, that's Chargers."
Didn't know I liked them so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, didn't know that. No, yeah, no kidding. Hey, okay, Slim. Yeah. So, how about you go through your team and I don't know, tell us a little bit about what you were looking to do.
Well, my strategy was to probably pass on a lot of the top RB ones and just go in my second tier. Like, Blister got Cook. He was on my list. I'm trying to remember who I bought first. If it was Damian Williams or Connor. I feel like I got Damian Williams first, and he went for $23, which was cheaper than I thought he would go.
Yeah.
So I kind of jumped on that, and then allowed me to spend a little bit. I got James Connor at $44. He was a guy I was really targeting, actually. I think he has some RB1 upside, but I just think he's pretty safe in that offense. Tyreek Hill, he kind of changed things for me a little bit. He was my wide receiver one, and he went for $37. And once that happened, I think I had $45 budgeted for my wide receiver one.
Yeah, that's it's it a good price me, for him.
it allowed me to change some things around. I was going to go get Miles Sanders in this draft, and he ended up as my RB4, and I paid him $15 to get him, which was a little bit higher than maybe what his AAV was, but I think he's going to outproduce that. So that savings I had on Hill, I just knew that I kept pumping money into my flex positions, and I was pretty set I was going to flex two running backs. So then I just wanted to get four pretty good running backs, and I thought, and I ended up with Kenyon Drake as my RB3, which I wasn't like super stoked about. Other than luck, he was probably like the other mistake that I feel like I made, where I was just kind of like, meh. But I was bidding and thinking he would go a little higher, and I wasn't disappointed at that price. It's just that once I actually got him, I remember looking at, like, thinking, fuck, like, I could have probably have bought someone else there. And but anyway, if he ends up being my running back four or something like that, it's not the end of the world, I guess, because I anticipate Sanders having a pretty good year. But Lockett, he was my wide receiver two at $20. Let me see. I had Luck and Lamar Jackson. Jackson, I just was kind of essentially, because we do a points per carry, so I kind of wanted that rushing upside a little bit, and I missed out on Kyler Murray earlier. Robert Woods, I got as my wide receiver three at 16, which I was pretty happy about, considering he was a few bucks less than both Kupp and Brandon Cooks.
And very much flexible too, right?
Well, when I had the approach of going in literally and saying, okay, I felt like an optimal starting lineup was to have four running backs. If I could get four solid ones, then I thought, as having Robert Woods on my bench, or just as like, you know, if Drake doesn't pan out the way I thought he would, then I put Woods in as a flex, and I don't think I missed too much there. So I was pretty happy with that, actually. And after that, it started getting pretty cheap. Like, by then I had to really skimp on tight end. I ended up getting Mike Gesicki, like, super late in the draft as my tight end at $1, which I wasn't super stoked about. Like, I tried to get other guys, but I didn't have the money to really go and get them.
Right.
Because I really wanted to get running back, so I ended up with Pollard at 5, Breida at 3, Justice Hill at 4, and Rykel Armstead at 1 was my last guy, just because all the running backs in Jacksonville looked really shitty, actually, after Leonard Fournette. So I was like, I kind of just wanted to end up with him on my roster. And then, yeah, receivers just on my bench, Valdez-Scantling at 2, Gallup at 1, and he was a guy I threw out actually thinking someone would bid him up to 2. I didn't really want him, but I wasn't disappointed to get him. Like, that's why I said in my premium podcast, like, have a lot of guys at $1 that you like, and try, and that way if you throw a guy out that you're hoping goes to 2 and you get him, it's not the end of the world. And Tre'Quan Smith was another dollar guy, so I actually quite like my team, other than a couple. Like, Andrew Luck was kind of I don't know if I really want him as my QB1 with all this injury stuff. And like I said, Kenyon Drake, I feel like maybe I could have got a better running back at that price, but I don't know. If those are the two biggest mistakes I made, I actually feel like this was a pretty good draft for me.
Right. Okay. Awesome. So, hey, Blister, going through your team and going through the draft that night, what do you think, if I had to ask you, well, if I had to, I'm going to ask you, what your best move of the night was?
Oof. Well, I kind of like picking up Eckler for $8.
Say that again?
I liked Eckler for $8.
Yeah.
And I do like my receivers at $32 and $28 for T.Y. and Keenan Allen. I think they both have potential to be a top wide receiver one. I don't know. I think the game changer for me could be Todd Gurley, though, at $32. If he's playing 15, 16 games this year, if he can stay on the field, then that could be a steal. So that would be my biggest one, I think.
Your biggest one? Okay, Slim, same question. What was your best move of the night?
I don't know if it's the best move, but, like, I can't think of a move where I made, like, I think being aggressive on Miles Sanders was something I really wanted to do. I honestly feel like he has low-end RB1 upside, because that offense is going to be sick, I think. Mm-hmm. And, like, I just really wanted him, and I made the room to get him. And Tyreek Hill, I guess, maybe, like, when Mike Thomas went for 51, and who am I looking at quick?
I'm just OBJ 47, what else am I looking
yeah,
at?
Yeah, and like, yeah. Hill has as much upside as any of those guys, and he went for 37. Mm-hmm. Like, I just felt like and part of it was luck, just the timing of the draft. I mean, I liked all those receivers. Like, I think I've said this before, like, there's seven receivers I would be happily taking as my wide receiver one. And even, like, how Blister did with Keenan Allen and Hilton, like, I would be happy with that as well. And those guys went for considerably less than Hill. I just don't know if they have as much upside.
Right.
So I was pretty happy with that. And like I said, I think that gave me the flexibility to do a lot of things with at other positions in the draft. So, like, I think it benefited me getting a wide receiver three like Robert Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. So it just gave me a couple bucks here and there to actually go and get guys that I might not have had to get and maybe had to drop down a tier in some certain areas. So I don't know.
Okay, so I'll go the other way then, Blister. So looking at your draft the other night, what's one move or one thing you would have done differently? Like, what's the biggest regret coming out of that draft?
Well, I think that probably going too heavy with one team, like, it's not terrible. I mean, if you look at, like, Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, they're, you know, those who wouldn't yeah. want both those guys on their team. But I also have Mike Williams, so Eckler, though, it's $8. Like, he could be a flex player for me for three games, four games, five games. It just all depends on Melvin Gordon. I really don't have a lot of guys, like, on my bench that are easy plug and plays. Like, I could probably flex Delanie Walker because I think he'll be a big part of that with the tight end premium. So he could bounce into a flex if I don't want to play all those guys from the Chargers. But right. other than that, the other guys are basically handcuffs. James Washington, Zay Jones, he'll have a game or two here and there. But James Washington, he could be big. He could be good. And he could revolve into my flex role. But I don't really think I have a ton of bench depth right now, so they're all dependent on injuries, and, you know, really you don't want to use them that bad if you don't have to. But I'd hate to have to go bidding on Brown or Madison on the waiver wire should Dalvin Cook or somebody go down.
Right.
There's always a chance I don't get them or I blow 99% of my waiver wire budget on them. So, yeah, and really there's not a lot of guys left out there that I, you know, could have or wish I would have had. And you see, I didn't have a lot of money left when it came to the bench anyway. So, I, you know, you look at some of the other guys' benches, you know, right beside me, Goosh, his players are $9, $4, $9, $5, $3, $7, $10, $13.
Like, yeah.
He spent a pile of money on this bench.
No kidding.
A lot of other guys. I spent four on one player and then 2, 2, 2, 2, 1, 1, 1. And I look at most other benches, they're pretty much spent more than that. Avis didn't. He didn't have much left for his bench. Probably Slimbo probably didn't either. No, he's got one big. Well, that's because Gesicki's a dollar at tight end. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I didn't have a lot of money to compete with bench players. So you know what it is. I look at I always keep track of my teams every year, and I look back at the teams I won with or lost with, and they're never the same. Like the guys yeah. I draft, a lot of those guys are going to change out. You really got to hopefully I have a good enough team to get off to a good start over the first 3 or 4 weeks, and then after that, hopefully I can find stuff on the waiver wire to carry me through.
Okay. Hey, Slim, how about you? What's a big regret or something you would have done differently?
Biggest regret? I'm not actually sure. I mean, like, I just remember sitting at certain points in the draft. One is thinking, wow, guys are going cheap, the top-end guys. I gotta make a move to get in here. And like, be aggressive at the top. And it turns out I don't even think I had to be as aggressive as I thought I was or willing to be, because mm-hmm. You were still getting deals on the top end. Like, I might have overpaid slightly in terms of AAV on James Conner, but I got Damian Williams and Tyreek Hill for cheaper than I thought I could. So, I mean, that kind of, like, balanced each other out. At least, like, I mean, I only went a couple bucks more than I maybe should have on Connor, but I really like Connor, so. But I'm trying to think here, some things that I know that I kind of goofed on. Like I said, the luck thing, I know that was something that I regretted, but
right.
Maybe saving a couple more bucks on my bench where I would have liked to have got a couple more running backs, to be honest, and not bought like Gallup and Tre'Quan Smith. Like, I would have rather had two running backs in their spot and literally had like six running backs on my bench.
Mm-hmm. Just well, especially to see. With Robert Woods and MVS sitting on your bench, right? Like, you've already got.
Well, and that's what I was thinking. If I was only going to start two receivers, then I don't need a bunch of receivers on my bench. Like, I'll pick them off the waiver wire.
Yeah.
And then I kind of ran out of money at one point. Like, I went for four on Justice Hill, and Burrito was three. Like, I wasn't getting those guys for a buck. And I know Pollard, when he was up, I went up to five on him. And I think at that point, I kind of had the max bid. Like, I was pretty aware that, okay, there wasn't really anybody that was going to be able to go over the top of that, which mm-hmm. it was what it was. I would have liked to have got him for cheaper, but what can I do about that? But, I guess one of the other things, too, would have been my tight end. I could have been a little more aggressive there on some of the cheaper tight ends. Not so much the top-end guys, but, like, I don't know. I don't feel great about having Gesicki as my only tight end. And there isn't much on waivers, to be honest. But it got to a point, and same with not having, say, like a third quarterback and a super flex. But it got to a point where when guys were going for a buck, I was looking at it, and I was thinking, you know what, I'd rather just have receivers or running backs now. And instead of rostering a guy for a dollar as a flyer quarterback, I'm pretty sure these guys aren't even going to get drafted at this point anyway, so I'll just buy one off waivers and just take a flyer on a QB or something, or sorry, a running back, and hope this guy hits a little bit in maybe the week three of the preseason or week one of regular season, and whatever. I'll just go from there.
Okay, so now you guys were obviously there, and I wasn't there, and we've been getting lots of tweets and emails and those types of things around Zeke and Melvin Gordon. How are they treated in the draft? I'm just looking at prices. Zeke at 42, and if I can't, Melvin Gordon.
30. Melvin Gordon.
30. Yeah, like what was the chatter around the room? What was the feeling or the energy around those two players?
Go ahead,
Slimbo trash Davis, I think, spending $30 on a guy that won't play this year. there wasn't
I didn't
a lot
think
he
say wouldn't play. I think I said he's like, he's not going to play half the season. So,
It was good. And then Avis, I know Avis was regretting that later, spending $30 on him, but you never know. I mean, he could be, if he plays, he's top five, and $30 is cheap. But right now it's not looking too good. You got to take a chance somewhere along the line. Realistically, when you think about it, $30 isn't killing his budget. He's still got a pretty solid. Actually, he's got a really good team by the look of it. Wow. And then Zeke went for 42, and I think the feeling there wasn't as much said about Zeke. And I think the feeling was he'd be back, he'd be playing. So okay.
I was sitting next to the guy who bought Zeke, and I remember saying, like, for me, if I could have got him for $40 or less, I would have done it. And I mean, it's hard to gauge. He's a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, right.
He went in. I think he was pretty confident that Zeke was going to play. Like, he felt like that was actually a good value for him. And I can't say that it's not going to be, because I actually would be surprised if he missed any games. Which sounds counterintuitive, because I bought Pollard. Essentially, I was buying Pollard as just like a, if he does, then I might end up with like the RB14 for pennies. And that was my hope. But anyway.
All right. So the next question, you texted me something about DJ Moore. What happened here? There's always a story in every draft about a player and how things shook out. So what happened with DJ Moore?
David Johnson.
David Johnson.
Yeah, when I looked at his price, how did that happen?
$36.
Yeah, it was crazy, actually. Like, I mean, I also go first, and Bliss can maybe add, because he was actually sitting closer to the guy who bought him. I remember sitting there looking up stuff and updating sheets and kind of just whatever, like, you hear what's going on, but I can't say that I wasn't paying 100% attention, but it kind of got to the point where, and we do this live auction, it's like auctioneers, whatever, and it was going once, going twice, and I remember just being like, hey, my 30, like, I didn't even know what the mount was at, but I tried to just, like, throw my hand up and be like, ah! And I don't know if I said even the dollar amount that was correct, whatever. I just was kind of like, I want you to know I'm bidding one more than whatever. Like, and our auctioneer said that no one got anything in before he started saying sold, which we were, there was maybe a 10-second discussion about that. But at the end of the day, like, we have a rule. Like, if the auctioneer says that, that's how it goes. You can't bitch. There's no, and that was it. It was just the end of it. And I think it was a bunch of guys. I know for me, and I think everyone else, it was probably just, you know, I was just assuming the bidding was going to keep going. And so I'm doing a little bit of clerical work, thinking, okay, I got 5-10 seconds here to get caught up in a couple things. And all of a sudden it just stalled out. And whether there was a bunch of us thinking the same thing or I don't know, but few of us tried to chime in, but it was deemed a little bit too late by our auctioneer, and that's just the way it went.
Blister?
Yeah, it went, it just was up and gone, and I think both of them were like, what, wait, what? What did, how did that happen? And then, yeah, it's kind of crazy how cheap he went. Like, David Johnson, $36.
Yeah.
I was looking at some prices.
I hate Kerryon giving people Johnson, cheap deals like that.
Kerryon Johnson was 38. Joe Mixon was 35. Nick Chubb was 37. Like, holy, David Johnson for 36, that's not even fair.
Yeah, well, that's exactly. I know, I remember looking at it going, D. Johnson's David Johnson, right? Like, it's got to be, it's got to be that. $36, what, how did that happen? So, all right, so I'm also trying to think of questions that our listeners might be having in their head, and because this is a live auction and you guys are all in person, it does help to, I don't know. It makes for a whole different experience. So I'm also thinking about trends in nominations or sneaky nomination things that you might have seen, or bidding styles and those types of things. Was there anything in there in the auction that listeners might be able to get a leg up in their big auction coming up soon, or like anything that you learned or you saw that was kind of good, or trends that were happening there? Slim?
Right, Slim.
Well, for me, when I noticed the top end guys are going cheaper, and I said, okay, I'm going to try and get some guys here. Once I filled those spots, I kind of like that, because then I can just nominate a bunch of guys in those similar price ranges that I know I can't afford, and just like flood the market now with higher priced guys to try and just flush out as much money as possible. And then later in the draft, again, it's just trying to know certain guys that you think will, like, have buzz, that are going to get $2-3 bids that you can just throw out for a buck, and just force all these guys to only have, like, a max bid of a dollar when you can have a max bid of two. To me, that's, like, the fun part, is trying to manipulate the end of the draft to try and just, like, make yourself the one that's in control.
Right.
And not saying I did that, but there was chances to do that in this one.
Blister, anything that you noticed as far as bidding or nominations or anything like that?
Nothing too crazy, you know, like nothing out of the ordinary. I think, like I said, we've had a couple different auctions and such a wide range of prices. I thought overall the prices stayed fairly reasonable here. Not a lot of guys went for over $50, so that makes, you know, a lot more guys can kind of get a solid lineup with that. I think you got to really keep an eye on, you know, guys that have a lot of money left, and you got to pay more attention to what they're doing, because you need to get their money spent. And so, you know, you got to think of who would that guy be waiting on? Who could he be sitting
that's
on?
Right.
Let's get them out there, because you got to get their money gone, because it gets down to that waiver wire and the difference between having some depth and, or sorry, not waiver wire, but your bench, and having some depth and not having depth is the guy that's sitting there still with, you know, $90 or something, and he's got all his bench to fill, and you have $18 in your whole bench to fill. Anytime you nominate somebody, it's so easy for him to just come in and take them. So I think you want to try to control those kind of guys a little bit more so than this, so you have a chance at the end. You know, you're not going to get all eight guys on your bench that you love, but if you can get three or four of them that you kind of really want, like I look at other guys, I really was looking to get some running back depth with upside, like a guy like Justice Hill or Singletary or some of those guys that I kind of wanted those rookies that potentially could take over at some point. And, you know, I just couldn't afford it. I couldn't do it. So and they weren't that expensive, $4. Did you get Justice, Slim?
No, you
didn't. Yeah, I did.
Or did you?
Yeah, $4.
No. So,
but again, I know I kept pushing that money down, and I knew that, I mean, I knew I was going to use it to make sure I got running backs, just like you were talking about Blister. So, like, I mean, I'm not saying Breida's worth $3, but I was like, fuck it. I know I got the money. I'm going to get, like, some of these guys. Same with Pollard. Like, I didn't want to spend $5, but I knew I had the money to do it, and I was like, I want some of these high upside guys. So I'm going to make sure I get a few of them.
Yeah. Breida I would like to have had, too.
Yeah, well, and it's good prices, right? Like, those are guys you're going to easily be able to play.
And I'll be honest, at that point in the draft, like, price doesn't actually matter. Like, you're literally looking at the budgets that are left on the table. You're not looking at our spreadsheet with AAV. Mm-hmm. You're looking at who's got money left, what spots do you have left, and how much money do you have left. Like, it's just like you do a deep snake draft where they say ADP doesn't matter. Well, here, AAV doesn't matter. Like, you pay what you can pay to get the players that you really want at this juncture. You're not filling starting spots anymore. You're trying to get the highest upside roster you can get.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Blister, okay, so here's the next question. So what about a WTF moment in the draft? You're just like shaking your head and you're like, what? Whether it's you or somebody else, like, just what? What was that? What?
That's a good one. I know there was a couple, but I can't think of it either.
Well, okay, outside of David Johnson, because that's obviously would be everybody's like, what? But
no.
Yeah. We got to look at Klinger.
What did he do? I'm looking. Let's see.
No, I can't see. I'm just trying to look at a person that would do something that we would shake our head at.
So, Slim, you don't have anything either that you're just like, what?
Well, I think the Melvin Gordon thing was kind of to me like, what the fuck's going on here? There was one point I remember leaning back in my chair and just putting my hands up being like, what? Exactly what you said, but I don't.
You can't remember what it was.
Off the top of my head.
Okay. So then the other one of the best parts of doing any draft, but in particular the live auction, is then afterwards mulling about with everybody else in the draft and saying, oh, I love this team. Ooh, what happened there? So outside of your own team, Blister, whose team did you look at and go, hey, that's a really good looking team?
Well, I'm kind of looking at them all right now and trying to decide which one I like the most. You know, Gibby is a really strong. Gibby likes to get the best tight ends. You got Kelsey and Kittle. Kelsey and Kittle for $60. Yeah, and after that, it's kind of Zoob's team. Well, he's got Thomas and Barkley. He spent a lot of money on those top two guys, $108 on those guys. And then after that, it tapers off. Slim's got a nice team.
Look at Canfield.
I was remembering that actually during the draft. Slim was putting together a nice squad actually. I really liked that. Canfield, Cousins, Henry, Mack, Antonio, Julio, McDonald.
I was just looking at it thinking I like that team.
Not bad. Or is it Chad or is that? Oh, no, that's him, Chad, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's not too bad. I mean, even, Avis isn't bad if Gordon plays. If Gordon plays, he's got Mixon, Chubb, Gordon, and James White. And a lot of people always kind of don't
Hernan
give White
coming
the credit.
Back.
Yeah, don't give him the credit. So he'll be okay. Two good, well, Brady and Rivers, a couple older quarterbacks, but Rivers better be good because half my team is Chargers, so I hope he does well. Furry, Aaron Rodgers, Jones, Ingram, Juju, Thielen, Ertz, Shady McCoy, Hooper, Mayfield.
Don't look at his bench.
Tapers off, yeah. Has he got a lot?
No, it's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. A lot of times I really like David Montgomery. Goosh got him, but Lev Bell and Hunter Henry. I can't believe Hunter Henry only went for $9 because O.J. Howard was 18, Evan Ingram was 19.
I know. He sat there forever and ever and ever.
I know. I really wanted him, and I thought, but I got to the point I couldn't go more than $8. I don't think so. I didn't get him. I got a lot of Cook shares, both Cooks, Dalvin and Jared, in all of my leagues, it seems like. But I don't mind that because usually they're at a bit of a
discount. So there's your teammate, too many cooks in the kitchen.
I should change that up.
Hey, you like that? Hey. Yeah. So Slim, when you look through the rosters either that night or looking again tonight, which ones stand out to you?
I like the one that had, Derrick Henry and Mack as the running backs, Antonio Brown and Juju as the receiver, Vance Carson is a nice flex play, and Jarvis Landry is a flex. I actually like him a lot. I agree. The team that bought Melvin Gordon for 30, I wouldn't have done that, but if it does pan out, he's already got Mixon and Chubb as his running backs, and then Devontae Adams as receiver one. He's also got A.J. Green, who I hate, though, so I mean, there.
Well, that's the only problem, right? So you got Melvin Gordon and A.J. Green on the same team. Like, you're not, like, how are you, like, how are you hedging your bets at all? You're not.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
and Herndon, too, right? So a lot of guys aren't even playing in the first couple weeks.
I mean, I like Blister's team, too, though, too. I mean, I see his, what he's worried about is there. I mean, and maybe when we drafted, I'll be honest, I wasn't as worried about Keenan Allen, on the weekend as I kind of am now, or, Gurley.
I guess he came back in practice today.
Yeah, it sounds like they're just kind of being very cautious, and that's kind of, I take that as the grain of salt for all this kind of stuff, to be honest, and maybe that's just me trying to be, optimistic, but...
Well, you know what? It seems more so this year than ever. They're really not playing any of their good players. Like other years, I think we've had a pod. We could have potted every 3 days with the big names that were dropping down. And how does this now affect the draft? And who does this bump up? Who does this bump down? And what would you be willing to pay on this guy? But we haven't been talking about that at all because none of them are playing. So maybe that's good. I look back one more time with the Melvin Gordon team, and here's what could, it could go all together, come together and be awesome, or it could go totally the opposite way. With Joe Mixon, for example, I think their offensive line is terrible. I think they've lost two starters already. So that could really hurt him. Plus, if A.J. Green's not on the field, who's also on his team, who's hurt, who's old and brittle, then I think that slows down the whole offense. Nick Chubb could lose touches halfway through the season to Kareem Hunt. That's a worry. Might not happen, but they're more realistic than worrying about somebody else like David Johnson, for example, or even David Montgomery, things like that. Mm-hmm. Adams should be solid through and through. Jimmy Graham, who knows. And then Gordon and James White should be okay. So, there's a lot of good names. That's the reason I probably never bid on any of them guys. Those kind of concerns for me, I didn't want to spend on them. Then again, I say that, and all the guys I have concerns too.
So yeah.
Whatever. All my guys are, we'll see who can stay healthy. Well.
All right. And so, every draft we learn something. So I'll ask this too. So Slim, what's one thing that you learned from this draft that'll help make you a better drafter? He's still connected. Slim, he might
he
have
got
muted.
The call.
I got a question. Was
Maybe
he eating cereal?
Tap.
Who's? Well, I think he was looking for the tap.
Yeah,
who's eating a bowl of cereal?
Not me, but it sounds like
it's quiet now, so it's probably
sound like sharks. Sound like
there
sharks,
he is.
Dad.
Hello, yeah. Sorry.
That's
I had
okay.
To pee.
Oh. You just
I couldn't hold it anymore. Blister was talking. I'm like, I gotta go.
I threw you a question and you weren't there, so I was like, what happened? Did you get the tap?
No, couldn't. Bladder was not going to hold it.
Okay, so Slim, the question was, I said that in every draft you learn something. All right, so what was something that you learned in this draft that's going to make you a better drafter?
Well, overall, or in this league, anyway.
Yeah.
Ooh, overall. I don't know, actually. I know in this league I'm going to definitely look at how I budget for quarterbacks going forward, but... and actually everywhere. It's kind of nice. I'll be honest, I was happy with the results in the sense that whether it's because they listen to us or not, or they're just becoming better drafters as a whole,
right.
I was happy to see the prices just drop down and people not fall victim to just going bananas.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it makes it tougher to find good values, it was... a lot funner to draft with, in my opinion.
Yeah.
As a whole, I don't know. I think it's just to always keep looking, like, really taking the players that you like that have the upside, I think. That's one thing I've really learned, even just as myself, in the last couple of years, that I really want to implement this year, especially, like, just fill your bench, your flexes with these guys with upside, and, again, just get the guys you want, like, within reason, but... you know, if you've done your homework and you know a lot of guys in every tier, every price range that you like, then there's no way that you should leave a draft with a whole bunch of guys that you don't really like, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause yeah, no, for sure.
You should be able to fill that criteria, that upside criteria in just about every tier. So hit those tiers, avoid the tiers that you don't like, and you should be happy more times than not.
All right, Blister, same question. What'd you learn?
Well, I think I kind of mentioned it earlier, but I think you got to pay more attention to the guy with all the money, because that's the guy that's going to hurt you down the road, and not, you're not going to be able to get the players you want later on. So, and it doesn't mean you have to have $50 left over or something like that to get the players you want, but you sometimes need to have, if you have a bench of 8, for example, maybe I would have needed 25 to get a couple more players I needed, where I had to spend $6 or $7 on a couple guys to get them. But you got to try to get money spent still, and you got to be alert to that. And, you know, if you don't know the person at all, you got to think, well, who could they be sitting on? Mm-hmm. What are they waiting for? You know, and they're probably, if they're waiting, there's going to be a point where there's somebody they're looking at. And often it could be that rookie running back that they is going to get the starting job that goes cheaper, that they, you know, they're going to put their eggs in that basket and stuff like that. Or if there's a person with a specific team they like, you might be able to get some guys to spend on that. But, you know, I think that's really important, because that hurts you down the road. And hopefully you can just fill out their bench for them quick and leave them with money, and then you still have players left over too. So there's a couple options, but you have to be alert for those people.
All right. Anything else you guys want to add? We're at about 45 minutes here, and I think we've really gone through the draft really well. We talked about rosters. You guys talked about your strategies. We talked about the ebbs and flows of the draft and things that you learned. Is there anything else that you want to add, something that I'm missing? I'm trying to think of what else I could ask.
No, I don't think you covered it pretty well. I'm glad we did a pod. Probably for the last 3, 4, maybe even 5 years, we did our big pod leading into the draft, and then we disappeared from the radio.
Yeah. We normally do our draft later too, right? And yeah, so then it's like, you know, well, we could come back and talk about it, but I think this is good because it really is going to help listeners as they're heading into their drafts this weekend or next weekend, because you guys have for the last 45 minutes broke down what exactly happened in that room and some of the things that happened well and some of the things that you would change and breaking down your team. And yeah, okay, so you're running 3 flexes and one's a super flex and it's a tight end premium, and probably not a lot of guys are doing that in their drafts, but all the principles are all the same, right? The strategies are all the same. So on that note, if you wanted maybe I'll throw this a link to this to this particular one in the show notes as well, so people can kind of take a peek at it. There's nothing. Is there anything private on there, Slim? Just everybody's names and just nicknames the board, for the most part. Just the board. Yeah. So maybe I'll make a copy of that and throw it in the show notes too, so people could see what we're talking about. Because it's hard when you're just listening, and if you're like me and you're listening to podcasts at 1.5 times, which if you're not, you should be. Anyone else? Yeah. Did you do that?
No.
Listen to it 1.5. So you listen to it at 1.5.
Takes a little bit getting used to, but
it does, but not long.
No, not long at all.
The only
when you
real
go back, you'll feel like it's like what, like people are drunk all the time.
Yeah, because they're so. The only time I really notice it now is if there's music being played. Because the music sounds really up-tempo.
When you know the song or something.
Yeah, you're like, oh, geez. Yeah. Oh. Like when I listen back to ours, for instance, and all of a sudden, you know, it's, hey, Mr. Blister! You know what I mean? And it's like it's like really thrash metal now or whatever. But that's the only time I really notice it. But anyways, if you are listening to the 1.5 speed, which there's something that you should be doing, then it's hard to maybe keep track of some of these numbers. So you'll be able to go back and take a look. I'll throw it in the show notes so that people could get a look at it, in that way. So anyways, that wraps up the Slim's Big Auction. It's our big home auction. I didn't get to be there, but now I feel a little bit more like I was there. I've learned some things heading into, I think I've got one more draft to go away. Blister, we have one next weekend.
We have one on Sunday.
Oh yeah, this Sunday, right?
Sunday.
Is that an auction too?
Yes, it is. The ECL
auction. The ECL auction. Right.
We'll see expensive running backs again there.
Yeah, yeah. Not $92 for McCaffrey, maybe?
80, I bet.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, boy. Anyways, okay, so then on that note, you can head over to the website, thefantasyfootballauction.com. Check on the members area. We've got Slim did a couple of other premium pods last week, so I think we're up at about 7 or 8 on the premium pod side of things. There's only a couple articles. Maybe someone could fire me an article so I could put that up at some point. Oh. That would be awesome. But you do get all the spreadsheets too, and really that's the big thing. So you've got the tiers that Blister and Slim both used and I'm sure had printed and in front of them at the draft on Saturday, correct, boys?
Absolutely.
Digital, yes.
But yes, but had them there in front of you. And I've now shared my blank cheat sheet plus a couple of drafts that we've done. I've also put that in there as well. And on that note, I've had a couple of guys saying, you know, hey, can't I edit this? You absolutely can edit. All you have to do is when you open up the spreadsheet, click on file and download it. And boom, there you can download it as an Excel. You can download it as a PDF. You won't be able to edit that. But you can also, if you're a Google person, you can make a copy. And when you make a copy, it becomes yours. And now you have full editing power on all of these things. So file, download, file, make a copy. That's how you can get like the direct access and editable and all of those things. So, not that we don't like the emails, but it's a pretty easy thing. Like just in any sort of thing you're doing on a computer, you click on the file and cool stuff happens. Anyways, that's, look at that. I gave podcast listening advice. Like you should be listening to 1.5.
And a sarcastic computer tip.
And sarcastic computer tip. Yeah, sorry. So was there sarcasm? Yeah, there was sarcasm.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was up till 4 in the sauna last night.
Rightfully so, man.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We've had computers for a long time.
Yeah. It is 2019. Yeah. Anyway, so just do that. Download it or make a copy and boom, and away you go. So head on over to the website, thefantasyfootballauction.com for all of your auction goodness. The auction values are being updated all the time. And we just did the Josh Gordon news and did some movement there, right, Slim?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So that's all. Blister, did you get your no, because you just got back tonight, hey?
He had some of it in there before.
Okay. He did hear that Josh
Gordon.
He'll
be tweaking. Yeah. Okay. He'll be tweaking it again.
He's gone. I think he went and took a leak.
Yeah.
What is this podcast going on? Anyways, well, I'm happy we got to take care of it because I was going to come on and just break this down myself, and having you guys here made it a lot, not only more enjoyable, but also a lot more effective because you could actually answer the questions that I wanted to talk about and didn't have the answers. So anyways, I'll see Blister when he gets out of the can, I guess. Slim, I don't know when I'm going to see you because I never see you on here. That's it. Or on Twitter or whatever it is. But I'll see you at some point.
We'll see each other there.
Yeah, we'll see each other there. And for the rest of you, I'll see you when it's springtime in the Rockies.
When it's springtime in the Rockies, I'll become.